I am loving a discussion on best before dates, but we're going to park that for a second. Don't eat anything until we return, because I've got a fascinating lady to speak to now, because helping ex-offenders stay out of prison, taking care of people with mental health problems, or making sure children are being properly looked after are just some of the things that social workers have to do. And my next guest, Anna Claire Mitchell, went from working as a teacher for a couple of years to starting a new career as a social worker. She's now in her second year of training and feels that more people should consider working within mental health roles. Good morning to you, Anna. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you.
Good
very
stuff.
Happy to speak to you.
Ah, thank you. That's brightened my morning. No one's ever happy to talk to me. So you've gone from being a teacher. What were you teaching?
I was teaching English in secondary school.
And then did you wake up one morning and decide, do you know what, I want to be a social worker? How did that happen?
I think it was a process which evolved, really. So as well as teaching my subject, English, I had a form group of Year 7 students who I would look after. I'd offer them pastoral support or support with their learning. And as part of that, I got to know them very closely. And one of the things that really struck me was how many of them were experiencing their own difficulties with mental health problems, or people in their family were, and the impact that that was having on their ability to engage in learning. And I guess at that point, I thought that I didn't have necessarily the time or the skills to help them, really. And I just wanted to make a difference in that way. And it was at that time that I was listening to Radio 4 and I heard about Think Ahead and a student in the first cohort talking about their experiences. And it just really clicked for me. I thought, wow, that's the kind of way in which I think I want to support people. So I made the move.
I imagine, you know, your main job at the time was teaching, but you
yes.
then found yourself more interested in the sort of the subplot, if you like, which is the way people were thinking that you were actually teaching other things too. So you were teaching someone English, but you were finding out more about them as a person, and that sort of grabbed your interest a bit more.
Absolutely, yes. You'd see, you know, it was just kind of little bits of conversation in the classroom that you'd have, you know, after the lesson itself. You'd get to know something about a student, or you'd read a piece of creative writing or a diary they'd written, and actually you'd see that there's a lot beneath the surface that I wasn't aware of. That was actually quite, at times, that was really quite shocking almost. You'd think, well, this person in the class has been struggling with all that, and I didn't even realise. And it really made me think that's, I wanted to understand more of that and be able to help in whatever way I could.
It's a strange thing in that I'm sort of old enough to remember when you didn't talk about your mental health and it wasn't
yes.
a thing, whereas now we're encouraged to talk about it and everyone has their own little story, no matter how big or small, whereas you go back 20 years, you'd never dream of saying, I'm having a problem with my mental health, because you were seen as a nutter, you know, and, yeah. and look at it now.
Yeah, I think it's a really positive change that's happening. I think in schools there's a lot more focus in PSHE lessons on developing mental health vocabulary so that, you know, children have the language to explain what they're going through. And I think in general in the media there is much more emphasis on, you know, perhaps people we know, celebrities we know, talking about, actually, yes, I struggle with anxiety and depression, which is normalising it, which is really helpful. I think one of the things that has struck me as well is the kind of the level of challenge that people are living with. And I think it's always important to understand that, really, that, you know, we have our mental health problems, we talk about them at work. That is a very different thing from some of the people I work with who are not able to go out, you know, because of their mental health, are, you know, hospitalised because of it. So I guess it's really, what I'd really like to see is a really nuanced understanding of it, that there are degrees of mental health like there are of physical health, and that's the next step really for us in terms of developing our understanding of it, you know.
Is there a lot of training in that when you just went to someone and said, look, here's what I want to do, what's the path there? What did you have to do? What training did you have to undertake?
So at the start of the programme, once you're recruited, so there are about 100 in my year group who are successful through the assessment process. There's a summer institute, so we learned about social work theory, about mental health theory, about the law, and how we might, you know, use those in our, that understanding in our practice. Then during the course of the first year, it's really about applying some of that. You're in a unit of four students, so I have three colleagues who I've been working with and developing with, and the consultant social worker who works alongside you to support you to think about what you're doing, and to gradually move towards more independent case management. So by the end of the first year, you should be more or less able to do that. And then in the second year, you're given lots of supervision by your manager in your host organisation to really bring you on to be, you know, a fully fledged social worker. So a lot of it is moving from theory into application, really. That's the journey that you're on.
Can anyone do it in the sense that you had a job before when you were teaching English, so you dealt with people and you worked with people, but so that obviously helps, there's some transferable skills there, but can anyone do it?
I think what I would say is that a lot of the students on my programme on the year came from a variety of backgrounds. A lot of them were from science, maths, politics, history. They'd all done different degrees. So in that sense, I think there isn't, you know, a kind of degree subject that you have to have done to get into it. I think you need all of those skill sets, really, to bring different things to the role. I would say it's very important to have good communication skills, an ability to empathise. And I think that's something that you do develop, you know, through your experiences. But I guess it's important to reflect on that. You need to be able to think very carefully about your personal impact in conversations. So I guess if you're someone who's interested in doing that and feels that you've got strong communication skills, then it's a good career for you. I think it demands a lot of creativity, but again, that's something that you could bring if you're a scientist or you know, someone who's done English like I had, because you've got to think through problems. And often you're dealing, you know, you might be dealing with someone who's in a situation where they don't have many resources available to them. So you have to think about, well, what can they do? What opportunities are there available in their communities? You know, what could home care, for example, do for them? But then actually, what have they got within their systems around them that would enable them to be more independent anyway and live the kind of life they want to live? So it's a very varied job. No 2 days are the same. So I think you've got to be prepared for that challenge. Yeah.
I can tell you're passionate about what you do. I can tell by the way that you talk that you're interested in what you do, that it's not just a job. You've actually got an interest in it. But was there ever a point where you thought, is this going to be a bit too tough for me? Because you look at the work that social workers have to do, they've got to undertake some fairly challenging day-to-day roles. You were saying that not every day is the same, but there are tough days out there. Was there ever a moment when you thought, am I right to, can I cope with this?
I think there have been days when I've gone home and thought, you know, wow, that came left of field and I hadn't expected that. I think, yes, it's tough. I guess a recent example is I've been, you know, dealing with a case for someone who, you know, really wants to be independent and would like to be able to live at home. But unfortunately, her care needs are such that just isn't an option for her anymore. And that's really hard to have to talk to her about that and the family. And I was, you know, just struggling with how am I going to have that conversation. I had to talk to my manager, I had to draw on my team. But I think that's the really important thing in a social work. You work in a team. I work in an integrated mental health team. So mental health is a bit different perhaps from some other types of social work, in that in some local authorities you work with nurses, psychologists, psychiatrists, OTs in an integrated fashion. And it's really helpful to speak to them about what you're going through and to ask for their specialist advice and expertise. So I guess it's that, really. It's being someone who's prepared to ask for help made the difference. And I guess that's what gets me through the thought that I've got a really helpful team around me who can, you know, give me some advice, give me a bit of
emotional support and
exactly.
Backup, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm a great believer, and I will let you go. I realised I've been talking to you for way longer than I said I would, but I just find you so interesting. But I'm a great believer that it does help to talk. I know it's the most basic thing in the world just to talk to someone, whoever it may be, family, friends, whoever, a professional. But just getting things off your chest does help a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, there's some training that I went to recently about first aid, and it was thinking about suicide and, you know, opening up about thoughts about suicide. And actually, the key message is getting comfortable with having those conversations and asking those questions. It is really about hearing someone's story, because often the thing that can make the difference for someone is just turning to them and saying, you know, I noticed that you're not quite yourself. You know, just talk to me what's going on for you. And actually that feeling that sense of belonging, feeling that sense of connection with another person is sometimes the thing that really, you know, moves you forward and makes you think that, yeah, you know, there's a possibility there. You know, I've got people around me who can support me and I can get through this. Definitely. Yeah.
Look, it's been a pleasure to speak to you. I could talk to you for a lot longer, but I realise that I don't want to run up your phone bill. Thank you so much. If people want to know a bit more, then is there websites? Where can we go for information?
Yeah, you can go on Think Ahead. If you just type that into Google, it should come up. So that is the organisation who runs the graduate programme that I'm doing. I think you can always look on NHS websites for any information about mental health. Mine's really good to look at if you're a bit more interested, just more generally, in mental health and understanding more about it. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the morning show, and we'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks, Andy.
Pleasure.